The constitution, I think, is clear on what should happen. The person who is the acting president at the time a vacancy arises is the one who takes over for up to 90 days as acting president. And within that period, the political party, which was represented by the exiting president, will sit down and select a successor. Now, what is not clear here is how that political party goes about selecting the successor. And I would say that this is a potential problem.
Now, is there any way they can do it, you know, without causing so many problems?
Well, perhaps obvious answer to this, if you ask them, is that they will hold an extraordinary congress at which an election of the successor will be held. Presumably, the person who will be elected as the president of the party will then become the shoe-in or the candidate to take over in terms of the national constitution. But this is all speculation. What would be useful is a more clear procedure into how a person is selected in those political parties so that it's clear before the event, as opposed to people having to improvise when circumstances require that it be done.
Do you anticipate the process will be as smooth as what happened, say, in Nigeria when President Umaro Yar'Adua died, and in Malawi with Bingu Mutharika, and most probably the two unfortunate cases of Zambia, Levi Manasa and Michael Sata, where the vice presidents were sworn in within hours?
Well, it would be very clear if it was clear in ZANU-PF itself as to who stands to succeed the president should a vacancy arise. But as it stands, there is no clarity there. Indeed, the original constitution as created by COPAC had a very clear provision which said that the first vice president would succeed the exiting president and serve the remaining part of his term. That was a very clear provision which applies in Nigeria, applies in Malawi, applies in Zambia and many other countries. Unfortunately, I think because of the succession politics that was being fought within ZANU-PF, the national constitution, I think, became compromised, and therefore the eventual compromise between the political parties, which is a pity, was that the political party which sponsors the existing president will be given the power to select its own candidate. And I think that there is a potential problem, because the method by which the political party chooses the successor is not known, and there can be all sorts of conflicts there which will leave us in a very, very difficult position.
And now the issue of the next elections. We know that the next election is not until 2018. And some are wondering if President Mugabe, who will be 94 at that time, will be fit to contest. Now, as an hypothetical question, can he choose not to run?
If President Mugabe feels that he no longer wishes to run for presidency in 2018, then of course he can step aside. I don't think he's forced by his political party or by the national constitution to contest in that election. But I suppose if the president resigns or decides to step aside, he will be able to control that process and there will be a smoother transition than, you know, we fear.
First Lady Grace Mugabe has proved to be quite a force in the ZANU-PF party. But do you see her being a force if President Mugabe is not there?
What has happened in the last few months is not new in the history of nations or the history of the people. If you look at China, for example, Madame Mao tried to do the same thing during the last days of Chairman Mao when he was very powerful, but it didn't end very well for her. If you go to Ghana, President Jerry Rawlings, his wife, was also very powerful. If you go to the Ivory Coast, Babo, the wife was also very powerful. It's natural that she is ambitious. She thinks that she's been associated with power and therefore she can use that power to claim space for herself.